I want to thank all those brothers who have participated thus far in our service on this afternoon. I want to thank all those that are Christians that are on the call on this afternoon, and even thank those that are not members of the Church of Christ. You may be worshiping with us on this afternoon, and our hope and our prayer is that at the end of this message, you'll understand what Christ has done for you or can do for you, and that you'll obey his will and become a Christian by obeying those things that I will give at the end of this message. I want to thank God for another opportunity and privilege to preach from the Holy Bible, to preach the Word of God. I just want to say that I was texting someone and I shared with them that I was scheduled to preach on today. And the question was asked, were you ill? I know it's been about 2 months since I have been in this place, in this seat, preaching on this afternoon. So I responded back to them. I said, no, I thought it would be a good idea to allow some of our young men to preach and develop themselves during this time. Also, they would have the comfort of being at home instead of standing before a congregational audience. So I want to publicly thank those young men that accepted the invitation over the past 2 months to speak of the Word of God, because hopefully the Lord say the same from men such as them and others. Highland Heights will be blessed with preachers, elders, and deacons, because they were given opportunity and they were trained to serve in the various capacities from which we find in the Scripture. So I just want to share with everyone that I know I've been blessed and thankful for my health at this time. Now, no, I was not ill. However, again, wanted to be able to myself listen to the young men that have come forth over the last couple of months and possibly in the future to preach God's word and allow them again the comfort of being able to prepare their lessons and preach their lessons. Having said that, I want you to meet me as Brother Brooks have read the scriptures in Philippians, the fourth chapter. I wanted to look at a text on today that Paul says to us, and hopefully it would encourage all of us when he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. What is the meaning of rejoice in the Lord always? Paul said, and again, I say rejoice. Is it possible that the Christian can rejoice in the Lord always? Because this is the command from an apostle of Jesus Christ, that we rejoice in the Lord always. And so I want to look at a few verses in Philippians chapter 4 and hopefully encourage all of us, and then again extend the Savior's invitation for those that may be on the line. As Brother Brooks shared earlier, we had one that have obeyed the Lord and put on Christ, and maybe there's others just sitting listening to this message, and it's my responsibility to not only share God's word, but also share with you what God requires of you in order for you to become a child of his, having obeyed the word. So the Bible says in chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. He says, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. In the first verse, we see that the congregation of Philippi, Paul said they were his joy. They brought happiness to the apostle. Not only that, Paul said that this congregation also was a crown. It was his reward. And he also said he loved, had love for this congregation. And I can say, as Paul said, regarding the church at the Church of Christ at Philippi, I have those same very sentiments. Highland Heights Church of Christ is my joy. Highland Heights Church of Christ is my crown, and Highland Heights Church of Christ is the congregation that I love. And so, as Paul said, I have similar feelings as he had regarding his congregation that he wrote to. And then he said in verse number 2, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I want to say that whenever you have an issue between two Christians in the Lord's church, as you had here, the answer is simply that they come together and be of the same mind in the Lord. Your reasoning with one another is not locked in one's own opinion regarding a matter, but what does the Scripture teach concerning this situation? Yeah. Let me say that again. Your reasoning with one another should not be locked in how you feel regarding a matter, but what does the Scripture teach concerning this matter? That's how Paul encouraged them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Put aside your differences and see what the Lord says, and that's how you resolve matters in the Lord's church. Then he said, I entreat or I ask thee also, true yoke fellow. He's talking to the brethren. He said, now, help those women. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Help them that labor with me in the gospel. He said, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of eternal life. And I want to say from this text, women have an important role in the Church of Christ. Paul said in this verse, help those women that labor with me in the gospel. In Titus chapter 2 and verse, beginning at verse number 3, if you turn there, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3, Paul wrote to Titus that the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. In other words, sisters that are dedicated to God and to his church. He said, these women were not false accusers, not given to much wine. They were teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Women that have been taught can and should teach other women the gospel also. Those that are trained and learned, you can just think about if it were my daughter were to call me and I answer, one of my daughters, and I said, yes, how may I help you, dear? She said, Dad, could you meet me at the building? I have one of my co-workers with me. And I say, well, do you need me to teach her the gospel? And she said, no, sir, I want you to baptize her. I said, baptize her? She said, yeah, because I have taught her the gospel. I've taught her how she has an understanding how Christ died for her sins according to the Scripture. She understands that and believes that she has repented of those sins that Christ died for. She wants to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be water baptized for the remission of her sins. Now I would say, well, do I need to bring her a mask? You say, no. She may say, no, Daddy, she has a mask. Well, I'm just asking. I'm just asking. But just think how the church could grow if those women, such as that Paul had labored with him in the gospel, labored with Brother Brooks and I in sharing the gospel, and then bringing those sisters that you taught up to the building to be baptized, not to be taught. They have been taught the word of God, as Paul had then, and some would say, well, is that scripture that they teach? Yeah, the Bible tells that they may teach the young women. But also, look in Acts chapter 18 and verse number 26. Acts 18 and verse number 26. The Bible shares with us that, and he, talking about Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded or explained unto him the word of God more perfectly or more accurately. So we have here, this is a case of a husband and wife together that taught a man the word of God more accurately. So again, women can teach, but as I share that, let me also understand that we understand where the restrictions or limitations are in teaching. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, so we want our sisters teach, though there may be those doing Paul's day that he may not have been able to teach that sister, and those sister that labored with him in the gospel, taught that sister, brought him to be baptized into Christ. But Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. The Apostle Paul taught the word usurp authority is to have dominion over the man. The Apostle Paul taught that women are not permitted to teach in any situation that will cause them to exercise control over the man. We need to be respectful of that. Why, Brother Stiles? Because in 1 Corinthians, Paul addressed that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the verse is number 33. Paul, in writing to the church of Corinth, says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. He says here now, let your women keep silent in the churches. And the churches is not the building. The church are the members of male and female. He says here, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So we have to understand that the God had set up an order that we have to learn to understand and respect God's order of teaching those things that we find in the scriptures. And there may be some in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about three types of Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talked about, in verse 1, he talked about those, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And so I would like to suggest, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, that there are those spiritual sisters, some, that when they hear this teaching, they will say, thank you, Brother Stroud, for sharing that with me. And then there may be babes that may say, what? Women can't preach publicly the word of God in the pulpit? And then sometimes there are those carnal Christians that say, why I can't preach like men preach? Well, sometimes God, some things are left secretive. God does not share. But sometimes God reveals things for us to know. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13, picking back up with 1 Timothy 2:12, God in this case does answer the why. For those that are curious about the why, Paul said, and I'll repeat in verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why, Paul? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Yeah. That's the why to those that won't simply respect and accept. When God says something to me, I'm spiritual, I accept. Once I understand what God said, I accept the word of God as being from God. So again, I want to encourage those sisters that are learning, that have been taught and have learned to share. Be laborers, as Paul said about those sisters in Philippi, labor with us in the gospel, in the gospel. I remember Brother Brooks had the class where he was teaching those how to share the gospel message with those. Amen. But also Paul said, go back to the Philippian letter. Paul said, and also in that verse 3, he says, whose names are in the book of life. Now the Bible says the book of life, but we want to know that once we obey God, our names are placed in the book of eternal life. When I thought about that my name being in the book of life, it reminded me of the fact that if I can you can remember when you were graduating and your name was in the book, was on the roll, how you must have felt with your name being in the roll. Well, once we obey God according to the scriptures, your name is in the book, and now it's our responsibility to keep your name in the book. And notice what Paul said about those whose name was in the book. In his letter in Philippians 2:12, I stay in the letter so we can see how Paul allows the letter to graduate. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, Paul said, wherefore, my beloved? Notice what he says now. As you have always obeyed, he said, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What, Paul? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul says that we are saved, and so we don't work to be saved. We'll work because we are saved. We don't, in the scripture text, fear God means we show respect for God, and the trembling here is I'm affected by God. And so I work for God, not to be saved. I work because I am saved. Yeah, I work because I am saved in the Lord. So those of us that are Christian, Paul said to them, he said, as you always obey, you all didn't have no problems. When the word of God was taught to you all, you obeyed the word of God. So Paul said, just keep on obeying God, and you're working out your own salvation, showing respect for God and being affected by God himself. And then my subject title, for this afternoon. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The word rejoice is to feel very happy about something. You're not just happy, you are very happy. You have joy. Paul says, he penned in this letter. Now, I want you to understand, when Paul penned this letter, look at Philippians 1 and 16. Paul penned this letter while he was a prisoner in Rome, as many scholars believe. Notice what he said in verse number 16 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul said, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. And bonds here mean a condition of imprisonment. In Acts 28:16, it says that Paul was a prisoner when he wrote this letter. However, he still said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What was it about Apostle Paul's life that would inspire him to encourage us to rejoice in the Lord always? I want to say to us that are Christians, Christian joy should not depend on one circumstances. Christian joy, Paul talked about rejoice, should not depend on one's circumstances. Learning to have joy during difficulties is an important lesson for Christians. Learning to have joy during difficulties and trials is an important lesson for Christians to learn. Why? Because Paul even shared with them in Philippians 3 and the verse was number 1. Notice he said it again. Finally, my brethren, he said, rejoice in the Lord. He said, to write the same things to you. For to me, indeed, is not grievous, it's not troublesome. But for you, it is safe or for sure. Paul told them once and he came back again and said, rejoice in the Lord always. Why can Paul tell them to rejoice in the Lord always? Why did Paul rejoice in the Lord always? Look at Matthew 28 and verse number 19. Matthew 28 and verse number 19. We find that Jesus said here, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Watch this. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God said to his disciples, and Paul realized that if he did what God said to do, God said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want you to see why Paul understood that he had a great companion, someone who would accompany him in the person of Jesus Christ, that allowed him to rejoice regardless of his circumstance or situation. Because God said, Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, and the verse is number 14, Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, shows us that companionship that he had with the Lord, that the Lord was with him always. Even when no one else is with you, notice what Paul said. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. There may be people out there that's doing you much evil. Paul said this, the Lord reward him according to his works. When others do things to you, as Paul said, God is watching. You don't have to take revenge. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Paul said here, the Lord rewarded him according to his works. He said, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our. Paul said, be on guard for him, because this person won't listen. Sometimes you have those in the church that won't listen. Paul said, God is not with them, how they withstand the word of God. Watch this. He said, my first answer, when I asked, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. There are times when you may reach out and you may be desperate and you need someone to help you. And sometimes, as Paul tells us here, nobody responds. Everybody seems like they got something else to do. What mindset should I have regarding them, Brother Paul? Paul said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Sometimes those folk who you most expect to respond to you won't do nothing. Paul said, notwithstanding, or nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. By that by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You might be in a mouth lion situation right now, and you may think that nobody is with you. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, because Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always. 1 verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Sometimes, if we are not careful, when somebody is trying to do something evil or mean to us, we're trying to beat them at it. But Paul said, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his holy kingdom, to whom be God, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul realized that his name was in the book of life. He knew that God was going to preserve him unto that heavenly kingdom, not just the Church of Christ here, but the heavenly kingdom. That's why he said in verse number 8 of 2 Timothy 4, he said, verse 7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. He said, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul told him, I am not ready. Verse 6, I am not ready to be offered. He said that the time of my departure is at hand. When you understand that God is your companion, Jesus is your great companion, and that he's with you always, no matter what situation you're in, then you can rightfully say, rejoice or have joy in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because Jesus is with me always. Jesus will deliver me out of any of my situation, no matter what man may do, no matter how much evil a person may do to me. Paul said, no one else. You would hope that those Christians that are right will respond to what's right. But even if they don't, we don't hold it against nobody that don't. But Paul said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and not only that, he strengthened me. Why? Because I have the gospel to take to the Gentiles. And God is the one that delivers us out of the mouth of the lion. Let us go back to Philippians chapter 4. So we see why one can rejoice in the Lord. And then Paul, a couple of scriptures I have left that I'll share and I'll stop. He said, let your moderation, Philippians 4 and verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The word moderation here is your gentleness. We need to learn to be more gentle. We need to learn to show a kind nature, that we're just gentle people. Paul said, let that be known by everybody that you're a gentle person. Then he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so Paul says, the word careful here means anxiety, but Paul is not just talking about anxiety, but it's whenever we allow a situation or circumstance, it allows me to take my attention from what my spiritual concerns may be. When I allow my attention to be so distracted, Bible class is not important. Worship service is not important. Man, I got issues. I got problems. Well, Paul said, when you have those things, first of all, be gentle. That's verse number 5. Then he said, when you have something that you can't deal with, as he had the situation he couldn't deal with, he said, but in everything, by prayer. And prayer is simply to ask God for something. It's the definition is right there in the text where he said, let your requests. be made known unto God. So a prayer is simply a request made known to God, and then supplication are when you have a need that is involved. So God said, when you are anxious over something to the point it may affect you in your spiritual responsibility, go to God in prayer and give it to God. Give it to God. And then Paul says, as I close, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Yeah, God has a peace. There's a level where there's peace. And that peace passes. You don't have no understanding. This type of peace passes understanding. However, that peace will keep your heart and your mind. Your blood pressure don't go up. Your anxiety level don't get out of whack. Why? Because that peace that God gives through Jesus Christ. I know when Paul was in that situation and he was calling for those to come to help him and nobody would come to help him, Paul told them that there's a peace that God gives that is higher than any. You can't understand this. Why are you peaceful, brother? Because God has given me a peace that I can rejoice always. God is with me. God is with me. And so, on this afternoon, as I move to a close, you'll turn your Bibles back to, say, in Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to be at verse number 8. God's peace can give the Christian encouragement above his circumstances and his situations. God has a peace. God has a peace, Paul said to them. And so I hope this afternoon, those that are on the call, I've encouraged you through the Word of God from Paul's letter to a church that he loved and Highland Heights, the congregation I love, concerning rejoicing the Lord always, Paul said. But if you're on this call this afternoon and you are not a Christian, you are not a member of the Church of Christ, what you need to know is what Paul told them about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, verse number 7 of Philippians chapter 2, but made himself, talking about Christ, of no reputation. He left heaven and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of a man. And being found in fashion as a man, the Bible says he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, what I've just read from you is referred to as the gospel. Three facts: that Jesus Christ died on a cross, suffered 6 hours with nails in his hands and his feet on that cross. He died for your sins and mine. And after he died, they buried him in a tomb. But the Bible says, wherefore God, verse 9, also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. God raised him up from the dead to walk among men again. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You must believe those facts in your heart. You must repent of the sins that Christ died for. You must be willing to make a confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be water baptized for the remission of all your past sins, and then the Lord according to Acts 2:47, will add you to the Church of Christ. That is my message on this afternoon. Thank you very much for your attention.